What about the issue? You know, we've heard this brought up as a potential concern, particularly the earlier studies when Bev was using advanced disease of GI perforation, fistula, et cetera.
Right. That data came from the Canistra trial, and patients were heavily pretreated, and they had 11% GI perforation rate. And GI perforation is very important to monitor for closely. And I actually should have mentioned this as somebody who I wouldn't treat with a drug, is somebody who has symptoms of bowel obstruction, or if they have transmural bowel involvement on imaging. I feel that since the time that that study has been published, we've learned how to use the drug better. It's not the fact that they were heavily pretreated that they had GI perforations. I think it was because they had significant bowel involvement with tumor. So you can have a patient that is heavily pretreated but doesn't have that large volume of tumor on the bowel, that she may still benefit from bevacizumab. The other thing too, Neil, is that you just have a candid conversation with the patient. Look, this is one of the only drugs I have left to offer you. This is a bowel perforation rate. But when somebody doesn't have a lot of other options, they're willing to accept that potential risk.
So another problem that's been seen with bevacizumab, of course, it's used in many different kinds of cancers. And the two most common issues you hear about are hypertension and proteinuria. How does that play out? How do you monitor for it? And I have heard cases of people who are doing really, really well on Bev, but had a lot of proteinuria, and there was a question of, do you have to stop therapy?
With the proteinuria, it's rarely clinically significant. You might have some protein in the urine, but the patient's asymptomatic. If it gets to 2+ protein, then I will typically check a 24-hour urine. Off protocol, I don't check a urine protein creatinine. That's a ratio that's commonly done on clinical trials. But in the clinical setting, I'll rely on the urinalysis dip evaluation. So proteinuria is just clinically not a big issue. Hypertension is. About 20% of patients will have hypertension, which requires treatment. And you do have to monitor the hypertension closely, trying to keep their blood pressures less than 140 over 90. There are some patients who do really well on this drug. They're stable in terms of their blood pressures. Perhaps they don't need to take their blood pressures all the time, but I'm always cautious. I had a patient who recently had been on bevacizumab for about 7 months, was doing great, and then her blood pressure just took a little spike up, and she ended up developing PRESS, which is posterior reversible encephalopathy syndrome, and she's fine now, but that's something really scary to go through. So I would be very cautious with all these patients about continuing to monitor blood pressure.
What is the syndrome? You mentioned reversible encephalopathy. What actually happens with those patients? Have you ever seen it?
Yes, absolutely. Patients will have confusion, maybe difficulty walking. They can have headaches. It's a whole constellation of symptoms, and it's important to have it on your differential. The best way to diagnose it is with an MRI, and you're looking for a specific finding in the MRI imaging.
And then by the name reversible, it seems like it's reversible.
Absolutely.